This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
William Guerin is here. He is with us like he is throughout the hockey season periodically during the summer. Like Major Guerin, like all of our guests, Bill Guerin is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Glad to have you back on the show. A week ago today, you are running the USA team, which you will next year as a general manager in the Olympics, and you are preparing for your team to face Canada in the title game. A magnificent game, highly entertaining. Unfortunately for your club, Connor McDavid is Connor McDavid, and Canada wins in overtime. When you think back, Billy, to that entire experience, give me some of the memories that are going to stay with you for a long, long time.
Oh, man. There's so many. I just think the intensity that the players brought, the importance of the games, how the players put it all out there, the physicality, that first game against Canada up in Montreal was amazing. It just seemed to mean a lot. And, you know, outside of like just being around, you know, great players and great people and working and playing for our country, I think everything that the guys put into it, and I think the impact that it had on the game of hockey too. People were watching, and it was an amazing tournament and experience to be a part of.
How quickly did you see the buy-in from the players, really on every single team? I mean, this is an exhibition. This is not the Olympics. This is not a playoff game. And you know hockey 1,000% better than me. But I was mesmerized, man. I watched so many of those games and just thought this is hockey at its best. And none of that happens unless these guys, the players from all teams buy in. And once it started, there was no hesitation that they had done that.
Yeah, I agree. And like this tournament, the Four Nations is not the success it was without the players, without the buy-in of the players and what they put into it. That was no exhibition. Like, I know on paper it was, but when you put that jersey on for your country and the way these guys played and how serious they took it, that was no exhibition. That meant a lot to them. And all four teams deserve a ton of credit for advancing the game of hockey, I think, in this country, at least, probably the world.
Injuries are going to happen when you have that pace, that intensity, that skill, that ferocity. How much of a concern is that going forward if this comes back in some form? This is right during the heart of the season, right? And there are key players who are out now and maybe out the rest of the season. When you talk to other general managers and other presidents of hockey operations, what are they saying about that aspect of this event?
Look, it's risky, but that's the position we were in. We knew there's some risk involved in it. And, you know, injuries did happen, and it's unfortunate, but we all knew what we were getting into.
I know you're impressed by everybody, but give me a couple players who, when you watch them, you thought, okay, these are really good players. That's why they're on the team. But then when you saw them every day in practice, their approach, and in the games, they just were better than you thought they were, even though you already had a fairly high opinion of them.
Well, honestly, it's, Jacob Slavin was, you know, very impressive. Was he
your best player?
He was rock solid. I mean, he was one of them for sure. If not our best, but you know, the two-way game of Austin Matthews and Jack Eichel is ridiculous. The importance they put on the defensive side of the puck is incredible. And they're so good. They're good at faceoffs. They're good at defending. They're in the right position. They have great sticks. They care about it. That was very impressive. You mentioned the practices. That was one of the coolest things. And that was like just getting all those high level guys out on the ice together. And just watching them zip the puck around, you know, there were not a lot of missed passes, and that was pretty fun to watch.
Matthew Tkachuk tries to play in the championship game, and at some point he can't go. If you could do that differently, would you have sat him out, or was that, am I playing hindsight too much here?
Yeah, you try keeping him out.
Yeah.
You know what? When situations like this happen, you trust the player. He's honest with you and he tells you where he is. And, you know, Matthew's such a big part of our team that, you know, we had to let him go. And, it was unfortunate that he wasn't healthy enough to really play, but, he had done so much for us. He deserved the shot.
It was on a Monday, right? Where you're doing a series of interviews, including a Fox News interview, where Bill Hemmer says it'd be great if the president shows up for the championship game. And you say something like, yeah, it'd be great. You know, that'd be great if the president's paying attention. And the next thing I know, you have become, according to some, a conservative firebrand commentator who wants Canada to be our 51st state.
Oh, God.
How was that all playing out for you? How quickly did you realize this had turned into something?
I think later in the day, somebody said something to me. I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I didn't say anything political, and you know what? You know, like I said on another show, I don't care who's in office. If the office of the President of the United States calls, I'm picking up. I don't care.
Sure.
And
absolutely,
people can say whatever they want, but that's the way I feel. I respect that office, and you know, I've been fortunate enough to go to the White House and have that experience before, and it's been Democrats and Republicans. And I almost dropped an F-bomb. I'm not a politician. I'm a hockey guy. All right. But that's the scope of the how big the game was.
What was it like on the day of the game at the morning skate? And all of a sudden you're on the phone with the president, just the logistics of that. And then when you brought the phone out, I don't think that's just me texting you. I just got a sense it might have been had a little more complexity.
Yeah, you know what? It was really cool. I have Cash Patel and I have a mutual friend. I've never met Cash in person. Just recently spoke to him on the phone, but he's a huge hockey fan and indicated that the president might want to talk to us. So over the next, 36 hours or whatever, we kind of put it together and it was, okay, you're going to get a call from some random number. Just make sure, you pick it up. It's going to be at this time. So we knew exactly what time. And that's kind of the way it went down. I was like, you mean just on my cell phone? He's like, yeah. I was like, okay, that's cool. It was an amazing experience. And it all goes back to how popular the hockey was, how much it meant to everybody. That's the main thing.
Could I have that number? I'd love to just to call the president, get him on the show, see how he's doing. You want to share that?
So we had a couple military friends with us through the whole tournament. And from what they tell me, that number does not exist anymore.
Okay.
So, you can try calling all you want. That's some number out
it's gone.
To
see.
Yeah,
yes,
it's gone.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's pause. Let's come back. Let's talk about his team, the Minnesota Wild. What's happened so far with the return? They're back in action tonight playing Utah. Billy Guerin, great as always. Back in moments on CCO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
Right back with Billy Guerin from the Minnesota Wild, the president of hockey operations and general manager. Let's talk injuries. Let's just talk it in the broadest sense. There are years when they just keep coming and coming. And then there are back-to-back years when they keep coming and coming. And you had a lot of injuries last year. You've had even more this year. How many times are you just sitting back, either on your own or with your staff, just shaking your head on how this keeps happening? And not just your fourth-line winger. to your essential guys who are missing significant games at the at this key point of the season?
Yeah, it's been a lot. It's not great to, you know, to have to deal with all the time, but we have to. And, you know, I think if we just sit around and have a pity party for ourselves, we're not going to do ourselves any favors. Look, we had a great start, beginning, first half, whatever. And thank God, you know what? Like, we've put ourselves in a really good position. This is enabling us to, still be in a good position when these injuries have happened. And, you know, I think the guys have played well. You know what? I you look at the other night against Detroit, we only gave up 16 shots. You know, the night before or the game before, we had a great comeback victory in overtime. So, you know, regardless of you know, who's out of lineup, the guys in the lineup are playing well. And we just need to, we need to just suck it up and go. Nobody feels sorry for us. I can tell you that right now. So let's just continue to go about our business.
So right now, Kirill Kaprizov, I think everybody would agree, is your best player. He was one of the two or three best players in the game starting this season. And then I could make the argument, considering the roles he plays, that Joel Eriksson Ek is your most essential player. Both those guys are out. What can you tell us about what's going on with their health right now, and what sort of timeline are we looking at?
Like the release to say, like Ecky's week to week. I can't really get more specific on that. And Kirill, just, you know, when he originally was injured, I said at least 4 weeks. We didn't know if that was 4, 6, 8, but he's going to be out. Definitely. I mean, we're at the 4 weeks, so he's going to be out longer than we thought. Don't really know, because we'll know more when he gets closer to playing. Like, is it another week, another 2 weeks? So it's really tough to kind of pinpoint with him. So it's difficult to say, but, you know, like I said, we have to focus on the task at hand, and that's Utah tonight, and we'll get those guys back eventually.
We're going to talk, if schedules work out, 2 weeks from today. Is it realistic for either one of those guys to be playing 2 weeks from today?
I would say more Ek will be closer than Kirill. Kirill will not be 2 weeks from today. Ecky could be, but I'm not sure.
Is there any concern that Kirill will not play the rest of the season?
No, not really.
Let's talk about Faber and Boldy and what Four Nations did for them and how we can see that moving forward in your view.
Well, I think I don't ask for apologies a lot. I think I deserve an apology from people who said I put them on the team because they're my little guys. They were unbelievable. They were unbelievable. Like, Faber leads all players in ice time in that game, and Boldy led all U.S. forwards. So it was kind of like a little bit of a, you know, here we are. This is how good we are. And I think for them, being around the other elite players in the game was definitely beneficial. And I think they learned how good they are. And that's important.
I certainly saw stories in knowing I talk to you as much as I do on air on Four Nations, where media types raise the idea of bowling Faber and is this Billy Guerin stepping in. Did you get pushback from people on the league also questioning whether that you were showing favoritism and putting those two players on the team?
In the league? From the league?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no, they would never step in on something like that. No, you pick who you want. No, and I'm totally kidding. You, of course, I hope you know that. Like, when we put their names on the list, and I said to my group, I said, guys, what I'd like you to do is come and watch the Minnesota Wild play. Tell me what you think about Boldy and Faber. I'm not putting my own guys on the team. I know they're good enough, but I need you guys to be in on this too. And to a man, they're all like, no way, they're in. They know him. I mean, I would never do that. You want to win. You want to put the best players out there. I don't care if they're mine or someone else's. We want to win. And if you're doing something that's self-serving, then you're not going to succeed. And we put them on the team because they should be there.
On that team, when you look ahead to the Olympics next year, and obviously guys can play better, they can play worse, injuries, age. What's your guess? What percentage of those players on the Four Nations team will be on the ice when you have your opening game next year in Olympics? If I said 80%, does that seem right? Is it lower? Is it higher? Is it tough to project?
I don't know because I don't really want to say because those things get out and then players look at it and it's like, oh, 90%, 80%, 70%.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Bill Guerin thinks of Gene Hackman, who passed away today at the age of 95.
My God.
Bill Guerin thinks of what when you think of Gene Hackman?
Oh, Gene Hackman. I mean, my God, the French Connection, Superman, Lex Luthor. Like,
yep.
God, so many. I don't even know where to start. Like, he was amazing. Hoosiers. Oh.
Hoosiers. The Firm. Crimson Tide. Enemy of the State. Birdcage. I mean, Bonnie and Clyde. Never end. And
never.
Could play so many different roles.
He was amazing. He was, like, he had that fire in him, too. Like, you know, in some of those scenes where he was, like, real emotional, like, he would get mad.
Yes. And,
like,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I'm actually, like, afraid of him. Like, if that was, like, my father yelling at me.
Right.
But what a career. What a life. What a legacy he left. My God, he was, I mean, just amazing.
All-timer. I mean, there's no debate at all. All-timer. One of the greatest actors of our lifetime. I was saying, sadly, and this is totally on me. Obviously, because of the pandemic, movies were taken away from us in the typical sense. I used to see, Billy, 40, 50 movies a year. And I have not jumped back in. Now, you can get them at home. There's great TV. What's the Billy Guerin movie experience for you? Are you one who goes to theaters? Do you just wait till they're at home? What's your plan there?
I wait till they're out. I wait till they're out on video. No, I like watching them at home.
Blockbuster. You're still trying to find that Blockbuster. Is that what you're telling me?
I got my Blockbuster card, but it's you know what? I really like watching them at home. You know, it's kind of funny. The other day, my wife and I were just hanging around, and it was kind of a slow day. I had just gotten home from the tournament in Detroit, sure. And I said in the middle of the day, I'm like, do you want to go see a movie?
Yeah.
And she looked at me. She's like, what? I think that was the first time in like 30 years of being together that I suggested going to a movie in the middle of the day. I love going to the movies, but I love watching them at home too.
Yeah. Okay. Did you go to the movie?
No. No.
No.
No. No.
Okay.
No.
What did you do instead?
You know what we did? We went to a couple nurseries. My wife has been wanting some plants for the house. So we went out and had lunch. We went out, had lunch, and we went to a couple nurseries, and we bought a couple plants for our house because they're good for the air. They're good for, you know.
They are good.
They're good, like, filters for the air. And I didn't realize how good they were, but it was cool. You know, it just, I needed a day like that just to kind of get away, and it was fun. So we have two new plants in our house.
I mean, we could maybe get a flower and, you know, different environmental show going on Saturday. So maybe you could host Plant Talk with Bill Guerin. Yeah. Dave Harrigan, what do you think? Yeah. Do we have room for Plant Talk on the Saturday morning program?
We'll make room. It's got a tremendous ring to it. Yeah. I mean, all in.
I don't know anything about them.
Perfect.
She does. I just go along for the ride in the company.
Yeah. Well, I've talked to your wife now a couple times. I mean, she's smarter than you. I mean, come on.
Way smarter than me.
Yeah.
Outside of her selection. Now, so she may be listening now, so she is way smarter than me.
Exactly. You're open the key. Still works at home. That's always a very important quality. All right, my friend. Yes. Enjoyed it. Be well.
Thank you.
Try not to have four more guys injured before we chat in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Billy Guerin right here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Gene Hackman, his wife, and one of their dogs found dead today. Their home in Santa Fe. Or actually, it was yesterday, right? And the confirmation was early today. I see TMZ already has the 911 audio from the maid who had arrived, and very, very emotional. A caretaker had arrived. What are you seeing now? Because we had the early reports of an open bottle of prescription pills. What are you seeing now, Dave, on where those pills may have been found?
Yeah, I'm reading the New York Times latest on it, and they say, so Gene Hackman's wife, Betsy Arakawa, we knew she was found dead on the floor of a bathroom, and there was an open prescription bottle and scattered pills discovered near her body on a counter that were in the bathroom. The dog that passed away was also near, about 10 to 15 feet away in a closet inside that bathroom. And then Hackman himself, he was in a mudroom, dressed normally with a cane, had sunglasses near him, that apparently the detectives, their first inclination is it was a sudden fall for him. Something made him suddenly fall, and you know whether that the death made him fall or he fell and died, I guess they're still waiting to figure that out. But it looked like a sudden fall that caused him to be on the floor in the mudroom.
Yeah, I mean, it could be so many things, including if it is a gas leak, right? He could just be at the door. She could be just opening up pills, you know. It could be a lot of things, right?
Could be. They are saying that there's no signs of a gas leak or carbon monoxide.
Raises a lot of questions. That is for sure. Does not take away in any way from the legacy of Gene Hackman as an actor. But I'm curious, and you want the authorities to do the best job possible to find out what exactly took place. This show laments often the lack of decision-making by the city of Minneapolis. Talked about it yesterday. It'll probably come up with Jason, although we're talking about it now, so maybe it won't. So the city council today, in typically combative city council meeting where they had to adjourn with Al Flowers and others speaking up, they voted 9-4 to override Jacob Frey's recent veto on a city council plan. This is the plan to create a pedestrian mall at the intersection where George Floyd was murdered. Emily Kosky, who we should try again, Dave. We tried for multiple weeks when Emily Kosky announced that she was running for mayor. We tried to get her on, ask her questions. People feel like she's going to be a factor in this race. And we tried and tried and tried, and we're unable to track her down and match up schedules. But she changed her vote to help override the veto. And part of what Kosky said for nearly 5 years, talking about how the Floyd family had called on her to override the video. The family has come to George Floyd Square to grieve and heal. To them, this is sacred ground, a place of resilience, justice, and humanity. When decisions are made without centering the needs of those most affected, they disregard the heart of justice. Now, Fry, press conference this hour, too, right? So I assume Susie will have further information. Part of what Jacob Fry said in his statement, the council decision is a betrayal of the community's wishes and a colossal waste of time and tax dollars. He's not subtle in this. Why the council is content to let this site sit idle without any meaningful development and no legitimate plan is beyond me. Our city staff have worked tirelessly alongside the community to bring forward a thoughtful, community-centered vision, yet this plan is being ignored by a small minority, which simply is not good governance. So he had proposed an overhaul of an area that will allow traffic to fully return with the flexible street design that would close streets for public gatherings. But even then, the council members reject that idea in favor of keeping traffic to a minimum and creating a pedestrian plaza. You know, when Jacob was on, when was Jacob on with us? About 2 weeks ago?
Maybe even earlier last week.
Yeah. He was angry about it. And he said these ideas of the council potentially going forward with this, what did he use the term? Shady? And questioning the legality of it on the gerrymandering of this. And he pointed out again, as is pointed out in the story, that out of the 20 private property owners surveyed in the area, 15 responded and all of them opposed a pedestrian mall. For me, this isn't difficult. You need to have an area where business can happen, has a chance to succeed and flourish. You can have an area where it is always there and will always remind folks of what happened with Derek Chauvin, George Floyd. And again, Derek Chauvin was on the neck of George Floyd minute after minute after minute after minute after minute after minute after he had him contained. George Floyd, no hero, no saint, no flawless person. This show, I called out what I thought was incompetent police work. People are completely allowed to disagree. I never turned George Floyd into a hero, but he was symbolic to how people of color have felt in Minneapolis and all across America and the globe. That's just a fact. You don't have to agree with it. But to me, Dave, you do twofold. You set up something, whether it's to remember the moment, honor George Floyd, whatever, however you want to phrase it. But you also allow the businesses to allow people and cars to move through this area where if you want to go there just to see where the site was, you can do that. You can study the history, pay your respects, whatever you want to do. But also, if businesses who have been devastated in this area because of how it was shut down for years, including for way, way too long, where Minneapolis police couldn't even get through the area. But you have to be able to do both. Is that complicated? I mean, what? Let's do this. I want you to respond to that part, and people should come back. So some plan going forward, Yes, that's better than nothing. But I think this way and not allowing more businesses to succeed and have a duality of this, I think it is a mistake. I really do. 651-461-9226. Okay, we're talking Minneapolis City Council and an override of Jacob Fry's veto. Pedestrian mall compared to what Fry wanted, more dual purpose, more business friendly. I'm glad they made a decision because I can't be a complete fraud, Dave, and say do something. And then if they actually do something, then say, well, okay, go back to not doing something. I just clearly prefer the other idea in just the concept of it. And let's remind you again, Jacob Fry, just on this show recently, was fired up, including his statement today, called it, with us, he called it shady and questioned the legality of this. What do you want to say, sir?
It's good they did something, but I hope it's something they can do. And I mean, that's certainly Fry's problem with it, as he told us when he joined last week discussing his veto. In his view and in the view of others who look at state law, it's just not legal to do the pedestrian mall without, you know, a majority of the business owners around there signing off on it. And if you've got exactly 0% of them signing off on it, that's a bit of a pickle. And so
that is,
you know, if we're going to do something, let's do something that we can do. And if, you know, the council is believing that they can get that many folks in the area to change their minds, good luck to them. Show me first.
Now, you have some folks who are pushing back at Fry, saying he's distorting the number of people against it. Fry would say, here's the survey. Here's what I want to show you. So I think that has to be another topic. I asked the Attorney General. Keith Ellison's going to join us early in the 2 o'clock hour. Jason makes his regular appearance at 2:35. But we have plenty to discuss with Keith Ellison, including, has the Attorney General's office looked at the legality of this part of the decision? Your Lindis Construction Time Check is 156. It's time to call for 50% off installation labor on clog-free LeafGuard brand gutters. That's a pretty good deal, right? 50% off?
I'll take 50% off anything.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Including a pedestrian mall.
Yes, right? Among the techs, personally, I have very little respect for the Minneapolis City Council. Similar to defunding the police efforts, they're completely tone deaf to what the majority of citizens are wanting. It's not what I want, Dave. It's not what you want. It's not what plenty of people outside the city of Minneapolis want. But they keep getting elected. So to say there's no connection between the Minneapolis City Council and the citizens of Minneapolis, I don't buy that part, do you?
No, I don't. And certain parts of the city, a large part of the city, and in these wards, are very left of center. And
yep,
there's a reason they're electing the city council members they do. And, you know, whether it's a plan you want or not, it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And then we're headed for some sort of court battle, it seems. Well left of what I want, but not well left of what a lot of Minneapolis residents want. Susie, CBS next.